Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
And good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. So good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing okay today. How about you?
I'm doing great today. And I'd like to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the full moon in Virgo on February 22nd, 2016, with the sun conjunct Neptune in Pisces. What the new moon promises, the full moon delivers. So be specific about what you're asking for. When the moon and the sun are in opposition, it is an opportunity to see things from two different sides or perspectives. Look before you leap and be sure to take consideration for consequences. Not everything is what we think it might be. Don't be fooled by appearances. A good time to see the interplay between matter, mind, and spirit. Learn how creation has taken place in accordance with the law of opposites. How we think is what we become. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance. Cultivate your collective purpose by employing your unique talent. Well, Swami, it sounds like we've got a lot on our plate this morning. So why don't we get started and talk about the sun conjuncting Neptune in Pisces. There might be some people out there that really don't have an understanding of those astrological significances. Can you shed some light on that for us?
Yeah, the concept of a conjunction is that they would be like right next to one another, on top of one another. They would be very close to one another. It's like you're sitting next to somebody at a table or in a movie theater, so as opposed to, you know, 90 degrees or 60 degrees from them or 180 degrees from them. And the sun and Neptune is a real call for unity, consciousness, and self-expression with a capital S. That this whole thing of starting to feel connected to a greater whole and to transcend the limits of just seeing yourself as separate. A big part of Neptune rules Pisces, and Pisces is all about spirituality. It's all about returning to this unified state, and it's really all about the dissolving force of the universe, breaking down all boundaries and barriers and distinctions, and bringing everything back to the unified state where everything is one. And so it's really a powerful full moon in that the Pisces Virgo axis is tenanting the third house and the ninth house in the Hampton chart. So the whole thing of unity, health, work, and service, and they're in the houses of the lower mind and the higher mind, which has a lot to do with how we think and also our conceptual framework.
Is that also what we mean by when we were talking about in the description about looking at things from two different sides or perspectives, because we have the lower mind and the higher mind? Is that going to have some type of an influence as to how we think as to what we become?
Oh, I hope so, that it kind of broadens your perspective. It opens up your mind a little bit, and it kind of gives that cooperate or separate kind of thing between your everyday life and maybe your aspirations. your conceptual framework, your reality system. And I think working with the full moon, because it is considered to be the delivery day, and working with creating some sort of theme for the day can be really helpful. And on a very simplistic level, the key to being successful at life is basically to use what you need as a sign or a symbol to make you happy. Because that's a big indicator, you know, what makes me happy. Well, anything can make you happy. And a lot of it has to do with conditioning ourselves. But then to program yourself or train yourself to look for what you really do need as a symbol that now is associated with your peak experience feeling is basically what we're setting out to do with any type of what I call spiritual practice.
Well, it's really interesting that you talk about the full moon being a delivery day. And what I wanted to ask you is, today, of course, being Monday, and we know that the moon rules, Monday is the day of the week, so would it be right to assume that the full moon today, being Monday, is going to be that much even more celestial, powerful for everybody to really take advantage of these opportunities that are arising today?
Yeah, I think it could give it a certain sense of dignity that if it, fell on a different day, that everything is relative, everything does affect everything. And so anything that would give something a little bit more of a positive spin can give it a little bit more, just a little more strength.
So when we look at our summary for the day, and we said, look before you leap, and we've been hearing that saying, all of our lives just about, and be sure to take considerations for consequences. Not everything is what we think it might be, and don't be fooled by appearances. So is this what we talk about when we talk about false gods? Is that, would we consider that as part of that, don't be fooled by appearances, or is that just a blanket statement we can put throughout the entire day?
Well, I think to answer your question, that using intelligence, using your mental functions in any of your decision-making, I think is optimal. Processing through your psychological organs, basically, so that you are making better judgments, better decisions, using perception, reason, memory, intuition, so that you do make your decisions based on the information that's available to you. You're working with facts. And you're making distinctions between what's imagined and what's real a lot of times. And, of course, like you say, one of the biggest things for the sign of Virgo is this whole concept of, making distinctions. And one of the things that is of the utmost importance in a spiritual practice is to make a very clear distinction between the spiritual from the instinctual and the intellectual. That first, with regard to the Pisces-Virgo axis, first we must divide and conquer before we can unite and stand. So coming back to what you were saying, the concept of false gods is probably one of the biggest barriers to true spirituality. And that's why in in the Bible, they do talk a lot about false gods, and in the Yoga Sutras, they talk about avidya, ignorance, mistaking, you know, the impermanent for the permanent. Because to really have a clear, I want to say, understanding of what it is that you're trying to accomplish with a spiritual practice, you really have to know what spirit is. And of course, it's like trying to link to something that's invisible and tangible. It's like, well, let's talk about the sleep that we had last night where consciousness has returned to the unified state, you know, where we have no recollection. And so that's what you're basically trying to connect to.
And isn't that the tricky part for us all, is to try to connect to that field? Because when we are in our waking state, we don't know what it feels like to be sleeping because we don't have any recollection. So therefore, how do we know that we have this connection?
Well, the cycle also includes the dream state, so we do have some recollection from sleep. But it's the sleep from which we return where we have no recollection. That's the dimension of reality that we're actually trying to connect to. And, you know, like the books say, it's indescribable. And to have a sense of connectedness to something that's invisible and intangible does require a certain degree of faith. But one of the things that I found was that by using your number two life-sustaining force, breath, it kind of gives you a way of at least pointing you in the right direction to the invisible, intangible. Because you're working with the invisible but tangible with breath. And then, of course, your most important life-sustaining force, thought, can be pointed towards this invisible, intangible resource a little bit easier. Because it's very easy to fall into the realms of particles or waves, where things are visible and tangible, or invisible and tangible, and it's pretty easy to latch on to that. But it's not quite so easy to latch on to the realms of reality that are invisible and intangible, the unified state.
Well, I think that's great words for us all to for us to consider. And is this why it is so important for the practice of pranayama, and why there are so many people out there that engage in these breathing practices? And it's not only to bring the oxygen into the body, but it's also to help control the mind, because as we say in Kriya Yoga, you know, your breath is going to control your thoughts, so to speak. So is that why that's so important to put that kind of a practice daily?
Well, to answer your question, I think so, because like I said, the your number two life-sustaining force, breath, and your number one life-sustaining force, thought, do have that association. That the duration of a breath equals the duration of a thought. So that by controlling your breathing, you can control your thinking. But it doesn't control the content of your thought. So you still have to train the mind to look for this invisible, intangible resource. And then, of course, the hard part is, through repetition, to condition the body to receive the symbol for validation. And that's where you get the union of matter and mind with this spirit.
All right, great. Well, we'll come back to that. But for now, we're going to hold that thought and pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments. And if you have a question for Swami at that time, I'm going to open up the phone lines, and you can ask his question at that time when we resume. So we'll be with you in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Well, welcome back. And for those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So at this time, I'm opening up the phone lines so that if you have a question for Swami Jayananda, you can ask it at this time. So go ahead and ask your questions.
I don't have a question. I'm just listening. This is my first time listening to you guys. I was just wondering what your program was all about. That's all.
Oh, well, great. Well, no, that's perfectly fine. Well, thank you for tuning in. And you can also, anytime you have a question, you can also email us those questions too as well. So anyway, welcome to the program. So Swami, I do have a question for you. So we were talking about the importance of breath, and I heard a story about a woman, I believe she's out of Florida, maybe, and she is, well, I guess, what you would call a breatharian. And we were talking about the importance of breath. Now, I realize that this woman, I think she's an older gal, so how do you explain the fact that somebody like that can survive just on breath?
Well, I think it's kind of like what Jesus said in the Bible, that, you know, man does not live by bread alone. Mm-hmm. That I think what happens is that people actually are able to manifest nourishment from the life force, and that they don't need visible and tangible.
Is that something too that we can all aspire to, right? What we're always saying is that, you know, what you just said earlier in the program is use what you really do need to establish that feeling that you're okay, that connection to your spirit. So I was looking at the celestial positioning system that you have on the website, ipdtransform.com, and the daily information that you have for us. And you talk about today, which you had written down, is the full moon, what the new moon promises, the full moon does deliver, which you had said that earlier, that today is delivery day. Moon opposes the sun, focus on self-expression without much interference. Moon is void of course, 12 a.m. to 6:25 a.m. Production can resume after breakfast. So I love having these daily... these daily plans, I guess, if you will. I look at them every night and to kind of, you know, organize my thoughts for the next day. And then it's like Tuesday, the moon opposes Neptune, squares Saturn, trines Pluto and conjuncts Jupiter. Plenty of stimulation today. Channel the energy to keep your life on course. So I think it's so important that that you have this kind of a format so that we can follow that and use the celestial positioning to maybe engage ourselves a little bit better in our daily lives. So tell us how you best use the celestial positioning system for yourself.
Well, I find that astrological influence is subtle, but it is influence, and so to have additional information with regard to a biosphere of energy at a given time can be somewhat helpful. Mm-hmm. That it gives you lead time to prepare yourself. It's kind of like if you know that it's going to be cold out, you know, you bring a jacket with you, mm-hmm. or you dress appropriately. So having that type of insight can can be helpful when you are moving through the real world.
I know we've talked about before is that we can be spiritual beings and still live, you know, in the world that we're in right now. We don't have to necessarily, you know, give up our way of life and live in a cave and eat rocks and dirt. I mean, we can be spiritual, but we have to be smart about it, and we have to be intelligent, like you say, you know, use our intelligence. But also, it's easily said than done. So therefore, that's why we have to have this practice and this procedure, and like you say, powered by prana.
Right. I think a big part of it is just understanding the term. Like, what does it mean to be spiritual? And at least in this model, being spiritual means that I'm using my number one need as a symbol that I will use to validate myself. That my whole sense of well-being is based on a relationship with a resource of energy that's unchanging. Now, that internal connection gives you consistency. It brings a certain amount of calmness, confidence, and clarity that you can't get with any of the other dimensions of reality. Particles or waves do not give you that return. So to understand what being spiritual is, because it isn't just a declaration that I'm spiritual or this is spiritual or even say, for example, you know, someone had sent in a question and said something to the effect of, can chocolate enhance your spiritual experience? Well, you know, absolutely, in the same way that water added to your gasoline can enhance the performance of your vehicle. You know, like if you don't understand that being spiritual is a connection to a resource of energy, and it's also... it's a mutually exclusive relationship. So in other words, there isn't room for other things. There isn't room for lesser gods in this particular relationship. And so, and once you get a taste of the benefit of this mutually exclusive relationship, the thought of doing anything that would interfere with that reception or that experience is non-existent.
I know it's good that you talk about that, because I work with a gal, and she's a very young mom. Her child is just turning 1 year old, actually, I think, in this past year. And so she's a young mom, newly married, and, you know, so now they're struggling with the, you know, the woes of parenthood. Now they've got, you know, babysitting situations, and they never seem to have enough money. And then she said to me the other day, she says, I don't know how my life just became so complicated. And so, of course, I tried to answer her in the best way that I know how with the knowledge that I have. But how would you answer that question for somebody? How did my life get so complicated?
Well, most of that is just conditioning, and it's just habit. You know, that we kind of get sucked into using all of this stuff to produce the feeling that I'm okay. And then, of course, when things aren't working the way that you might have wanted them to, then you start to respond as if you're in danger. And so a big part of using a what I call spiritual practice is to peel things down and to understand, well, what makes me happy? And if you can start to figure it out that happiness is just a feeling, and it is typically always assigned to something, I'll be happy when. And if you can figure it out that it's your feeling, and if you can assign it to your number one need, you know, the thing that you're doing most to sustain your life, and it now starts to produce the feeling that you're happy, right? Because breathing and thinking are the two things we do the most. And so the corrections, if you can make the corrections in how you breathe and also how you think, then it will give you a different platform to work with. One of the things that you can do is if you haven't purified your body, you really can't get spirit in to validate yourself. But your body's like a monkey. And a monkey won't let go one branch unless it has another branch in the other hand. So you can give your body breath as a symbol to produce the feeling that it's okay. And that will give you a coping skill. That, you know, if you take a breath and now all of a sudden it calms you down, you have some objectivity, you have some distance. And hopefully it won't negate what's going on in the outside world, but it will make it smaller so that you're not responding as if you're in danger. So you neutralize a lot of the imagined crisis that a lot of us are in, that we've created because we've complicated our lives so much.
Well, that's all really good points. As I recount my experience yesterday with the dryer and having to use my breath to calm the situation of uncooperative dryers and trying to fix it. So I definitely understand using breath even as a coping skill, but not just that, but just having, but using it skillfully, like you say, skillful use of breath, not just using it for a coping skill like I experienced yesterday, but that's something that we should employ, that skill every day, regardless of if you're sitting in traffic and you're upset. It's skillful use of breath.
And then, of course, if you can combine it with skillful use of thought, you know, basically just use what you need to produce the feeling you're happy. Because when you become addicted to breath, think about what you just did for yourself. If every time you take a breath, it reinforces a feeling in your body that you're happy, you're special, that you're good enough, look at what you just did for yourself. So whether you're breathing consciously or you're breathing unconsciously, you are continuously reinforcing the feeling that I'm happy, I'm special, I'm good enough. That's a really beneficial platform to start living your life from.
Yeah, great words. And those are all things that we learned when we partake in the Theory 1 class that you offer, and then the Theory 2 class on Thursday night where we discuss all of those things. Well, Swami, I can't believe it. It's almost that time. We've got to start closing down our program today. So, listeners, I'd like to invite you to visit our website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and, of course, on Facebook. Be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Once there, you can also post comments about this show or give Swami some ideas and other shows you would like him to do for you. And be sure to tune in next week. I think we'll be talking about how to enhance your spiritual practice, I think, or something along those lines. And don't forget, you can also email me at lisa@ipdtransform.com with any questions you have for Swami to answer. So, Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to wish everybody a happy, hopefully that they're getting exactly what it is that they want. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.